Good evening, folks. This is Tom Flynn at KBOO News. I'm on the line with Bob Honey. Bob is a wilderness volunteer with the Umpqua Watershed Association, the Umpqua Watershed of Roseburg, Oregon. Welcome to our program, Bob.
Hey, thanks for having us, Tom. We sure appreciate it.
Bob, I understand that you're making a presentation tonight. That is Thursday, June 8th, I believe it is, tonight at, tell me about that, where and when.
It's at 7:30 at the new Patagonia store downtown on Burnside by the Pal Books, and we invite the public to come on out. It's a beautiful slideshow. We've been working on it for quite a few years. A lot of professional photographers, Dave Stone from Wildland Photography, and Eugene is one of the featured photographers, but we have quite a few. And the slideshow pretty much highlights the reasons why we want to protect the Crater Lake Wilderness area and the rivers that start from up there, the headwaters, if you, where these rivers start.
Bob, what's the threat to the Crater Lake area?
The threat to the area, well, one big threat is this real estate developer billionaire who's our president now. It's one of the biggest threats. Of so forth when you get right down to it. But there are timber sales threatening the edges of the Crater Lake that are in our wilderness proposal. There are also a tourism company. We promote tourism and support that, of course. But there's a helicopter tourism company out of Bend that wanted to fly helicopters down into and over top of Crater Lake, which would really have broken up the serenity and the wild feeling and the just a beautiful, majestic national park here, the Crater Lake National Park, that people come from around the world to see. So that's another reason why we want to overlayer the national park with wilderness protection, which a lot of other national parks across the country have that.
Bob, what does that mean to overlay a park with wilderness protection? What does that phrase mean?
Well, wilderness protection gives it more protection than a national park. If it's overlaid with wilderness, this threat from the helicopters coming over top of it, they would have to say maybe a couple, 2,000 or 3,000 feet above the park, which is the rules right now for helicopters or airplanes. And wilderness protection keeps them from coming down lower. They're really loud and really disrupt the serenity and the quiet, beautiful scene that is there. And so the wilderness protection will protect it from that and other threats, too. Wilderness protection is the best protection you can get for any forest.
Who enforces wilderness protection?
Well, Forest Service oversees it. It's from the Wilderness Act in 1964, and it basically keeps out the chainsaws and the bulldozers, but there are no gates on any wilderness areas. They are all open to the public and for future generations to enjoy. Now, this Crater Lake Wilderness proposal, besides Crater Lake, you can kind of vision it as being like the mothership in southern Oregon and southwest Oregon. It's way up high. You know, the rim's like 7,000 feet up there. 44 foot of snow on average, more this year. It is the headwaters of the Umpqua River, South Umpqua River, the Rogue River, the Klamath River, and a little bit of the Little Deschutes. So it's really the headwaters of these rivers. And if you're going to protect any of your watersheds, the headwaters is the most important because that's where your water is cold and clean and starts.
It sounds like you have some high-powered photography in your slideshow. Is that right?
We have some beautiful photography, Tom. The slideshow takes off from Roseburg Airport there. We took off going up the North Umpqua, beautiful North Umpqua River, wild and scenic. And the first wild areas that are in the proposal are up near Steamboat Creek, which is a really big steelhead fisheries that people come from around the world and stay at the Steamboat Inn and fish for steelhead up there. And we show these wild areas from the ground, from hiking, and from a small airplane from the air taking shots. So you can really see how the areas around these last of these wild areas are cut over and eroded, and how these are just these wildlife refuges that are last left. And then it goes up the North Umpqua River and comes to Twin Lakes area, which is a spectacular high mountain lakes, beautiful area, up over a Diamond Lake, Mount Bailey roadless area, which is the largest roadless area in the wild country in the Umpqua in this proposal. It's about 16,000 acres. And then it kind of flies a little to the north, making a left a little to the north of proposal up near the Sawtooth Mountains and Cowhorn Mountains. Beautiful photography up there by Dave Stone. And then it comes back down over top of Crater Lake above 2,000 feet, so that way you're not disturbing anything, which I was talking about earlier. Take some beautiful shots around Crater Lake, Mount Scott, and then it comes back down the South Umpqua River, where we have some a few beautiful areas left up there. Last Creek is one of them that is really keeping cold water going into the upper South Umpqua River near the South Umpqua Falls, where the spring Chinook that go up the South Umpqua River are near extinction. There is as low as 120 come back each year. And so these areas and the cold water that they're distributing to these upper areas are vital for the spring Chinook on the upper South Umpqua River. Now, the North Umpqua River still has a good springer run.
Bob, many of our listeners are outdoor people. They like to hike and bike and get into the wilderness. Are there opportunities associated with this designation that would be of interest or benefit to those folks?
There sure is. You can go to Umpqua Watersheds' website or Oregon Wild, which we work very closely with these folks at Oregon Wild. And they, Tara Brown, their staff person, has helped organize a hike bonanza this summer, and all the hikes are in the proposed wilderness area. So go to their website, Oregon Wild, and you will see a whole lot of hikes this summer coming up, and you can kind of register, I believe, with them about the hikes up there. Umpqua Watersheds also leads a hike. I'm leading a hike on June 17th up to the Last Creek area to a place called Vision Mountain that oversees the Last Creek area up near the South Umpqua Falls, where the Native Americans have been having powwows for 10,000 years up there. There's five groups that are advocating for the Crater Lake Wilderness Proposal. And I mentioned Umpqua Watersheds that I work with, and then Oregon Wild, and then there's Environment Oregon, and then there's the Crater Lake Institute, and then there's a national group called the National Parks Conservation Association. And that group oversees all the national parks in the United States that is conservation-minded issues when it comes to national parks across the country, whether they need to be funded well, they lobby for those kind of things. They are promoting to have them overlaid with wilderness so they're more protected. So that's the five groups that are advocating for the Crater Lake Wilderness Proposal.
Great. I'm glad you got that in there, Bob. You made me think. In the era of what seemed like greater budget cuts and an offense against our public interests in terms of parks and other things, what's your take on the prospects for funding continuing at a decent level for parks like Crater Lake?
Yeah, they are certainly underfunded. Crater Lake National Park right now is having a hard time supplying water to their own staff and people who work up there. So that is certainly an issue. It also is an issue that some of these proposed wild backcountry areas are in the national forest where they are backed up on road maintenance and fixing culverts and silver and so forth that are causing problems. Well, the wilderness areas don't need a lot of that. You don't have to fix roads. You don't have to fix culverts in these backcountry wild areas because there are none there. So there's trail maintenance and stuff like this, but that be a little bit less on the budget if we had more wilderness areas.
Have you or your people studied the economic impact of this designation? That is, the positive aspects of preservation of the lake and the enhancement of tourism, as well as the operational and capital costs associated with doing this.
Thanks for bringing that up, Tom. There's been one study after another. I apologize for not having them in front of me right now to name the studies, but I have seen them. They are out there. And one study after another says that protecting public lands as monuments, wilderness areas, or national parks help local economies and communities, not the other way around. And I can tell you firsthand how that works. I've gone over Colorado and to go to weddings and to see family. And what do I do when the wedding's over? I head to a local wilderness area, and I spend money there. That's how it works. People are attracted to these beautiful areas. They're actually pristine, beautiful, and that's how the tourism works. It also works when you protect these areas that the clean, cold water comes down. I am a fisherman. That helps out these fisheries. The fishery industry, whether it's commercial fishermen, recreation fishermen, is a huge business here and throughout the Umpqua and throughout the whole state of Oregon.
Well, I notice since I've come to this area that the taxpayers of Oregon are very sensitive to anything that involves additional costs. Are you taking that issue on in your presentation tonight?
Costs, and what do you mean by that, Tom?
Well, the costs of operating, maintaining, preserving, protecting a bit large open spaces, large wilderness areas.
Yeah, well, like I suggested before, you don't have maintenance on roads because there's no roads in them, and you don't have culverts and so forth. So I would suggest that they would cost the taxpayer dollars less money and add by having people come to these areas to see the areas through tourism and clean, cold water for our communities. And so we're not addressing that so much as some of the things that I address with this slideshow.
Good.
For things like, we're up against the Pacific Ocean. Basically, the coast range from Astoria down to California is where all the big trees were. That's what the old timers tell you. There's hardly any wilderness areas in there. It's all industrial land. We are up against the headwaters into the Cascades. These are the very last wild areas that are left on the West Coast here in Oregon. So what are we going to do with them? They're protected as roadless areas now, so they have some protection. But as I mentioned earlier, when we get different administrations and people who see things differently and just don't see the trees for all the other things that they do besides lumber, we need to protect them. And one other thing, Tom, that's come to be a paramount issue when it comes to our forest issues here in wilderness is that the climate change. The amount of carbon that is stored in these trees is just your mind can't even, because it's tons and tons and tons. These are the biggest trees that are left. There's an 850-year-old tree that was bored up in the Tiller Ranger District there in the Last Creek area. It's been taking greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere for 850 years. We want to leave it there. And the notion that the younger trees are taking out more greenhouse gases out of the air than the older trees has been bunked. The peer-reviewed scientific studies have showed that the old-growth trees are still taking lots of carbon out, and they're storing tons of carbon. And it's going to be left that way. So that's some of the ecological reasons, clean water for our fisheries, and talking about the economy and how many jobs, these are some of the things. And the natural beauty of these areas are some of the things that we highlight in the slideshow.
Bob, we're getting a little short on time. I want to get a couple of other things in.
Sure.
Taking timber compatible with preservation of forest land such as you're envisioning?
Yeah, I live in the timber capital of the nation there, Roseburg. I have an old log brand from Logan. I grew up shearing sheep and hunting and fishing and trapping, and my dad ran hounds. They are totally, I support the industry being responsible.
Good.
And at this point, we are, like I said, there's not very many of these areas left. They know that they're not going to go into these areas. We should protect them as wilderness. When it comes to this forest issues in general, conservationists, we want the industry to be responsible. Right now, they're not. They're still clear-cutting up to 120 acres on industrial lands and then spraying it once or twice to keep the weeds down so the trees get a chance. And that is degrading our watersheds and is putting chemicals into our streams and affecting the fish and people. So,
Bob, excuse me.
They are compatible, but they need to be done responsibly.
We're just about out of time here, Bob. Tell me again the location and time of your event.
Yes. Please come down to the Patagonia store. It's their new store on Burnside, right down by Powell's Books. And it starts at 7:30. We'll have brochures about the Crow Lake Wilderness Proposal. We're going to have Tara Woods here from Oregon Wild and somebody from Environment Oregon for some questions and answers of a Q&A at the end of it and so forth. And we'd love for you to come down and see this beautiful area, and we ask for your support and help for it.
Our guest tonight has been Bob Honey. Bob is a wilderness volunteer with Umpqua Watershed, Roseburg, Oregon. Bob, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us, Don. Appreciate it.
For KBOO News, this has been Tom Flynn.